stay tuned for one of the most fascinating programs you'll ever hear as we explore the strange and mysterious world of the paranormal and UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum. Tonight I have a very special guest that's going to join us tonight. His name is Victor Marchetti. We're going to talk about the CIA and the Cult of Intelligence and a book that he wrote a few years ago that's very timely as we explore the mysterious behind the curtain, if you will, of the intelligence agency, namely the CIA, and perhaps some of its involvement in the subject that we talk about on this program each week. Before we go to that, though, I've got a couple of pieces of news to read you. They're already, as you know, the spacecraft is now heading toward Mars to find out what's going on there, to do a survey, if you will. Already, this comes off of CNN's webpage. They're already talking about selling pieces of Mars on the auction block. A story from AP in New York says, even in New York, these rocks are pricey chunks of real estate, but then what's a brownstone on Park Avenue when you can own a piece of Mars? When three small Martian meteorites go on the auction block on November 20th, the man greasing the skids boasts they'll sell for $1.5 million, $2 million, maybe more. Now, these will probably go down in history as the three most precious pieces of stone that were sold by man, mysterious figure who owns them, told the Associated Press in a phone call. Neither he nor Guernsey's auction house, which is arranging the sale, will reveal his identity. Guernsey's bills the rocks as the world's only private collection containing all three types of Martian meteorites. There are only 12 such meteorites known to exist in the world, and most pieces of them are held by museums, governments, and research institutions. But private enthusiasts also have a hand in what's always been one of the most bizarre collector's markets around. The market for meteorites was already picking up this summer when NASA scientists announced that they'd found signs of life in Allen Hills 84001, a chunk of Martian rock discovered in Antarctica 12 years ago. Since then, prices have gone sky high. Every millionaire on Earth seems to want a little piece of the red planet, and meteorite collectors and dealers have watched with mixed glee and terror as their arcane little hobby became a serious, precious commodity. This whole market has been in such a tizzy, you can ask almost any price you want, says Blaine Reed, a meteorite dealer based in Durango, Colorado. It's a little scary, he says. Arlen Ettinger isn't frightened, though. The president of Guernsey's, who has sold Cuban cigars, Elvis Presley's clothing, and antique carousel ponies, is pushing his wares as if they were the Hope Diamond, crown jewels, and Jackie O's engagement ring rolled into one. Anything else would pale next to it, Ettinger says, which is why he's decided to present the three meteorites as the sole lot in the auction. Now, the $20 catalog, which must be purchased to gain admission, puts the meteorites' value at $1.5 million to $2 million, which is high by anybody's standards. Reed guesses the pound of rock is worth something in the neighborhood of $680,000, and other experts say only that they aren't worth anywhere near $1 million. But that doesn't mean somebody won't pay that much or more. Anyway, the collectors can't get their hands on the additional types, though, because the United States and the Japanese governments own all of the Martian meteorites that fall into those classes and can't legally sell them. So isn't that interesting? Okay, another story we have comes from Australia, and it comes from the Australian Associated Press from Sydney. The National UFO Reporting Service wants people to investigate future sightings of fireballs, which may be linked to slime-like substances deposited in three states this week. UFO Hotline spokesman Ross Dow said Three separate reports had listed similar phenomena to a case last Sunday in Tasmania. Electromagnetic fireballs have been seen singly and multiply in various shapes and sizes, and this has been followed by severe, unpredicted thunderstorms with heavy rainfalls and the discovery the following morning of this slime-like substance. He said the reports originated in the southern Tasmanian town of Kempton last Sunday, and three other reports, two from Melbourne and one from Cooma in southern New South Wales, were received on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday this week. Mr. Dow said the hotline had analyzed samples of the slime and had found it contained microlife or microorganisms. The slime, which was still considered to be alive, was being tested by laboratories and universities and other scientific foundations, results of which may be known by the end of next week. And that's the end of that story on slime down in Australia. By the way, we're being listened to globally via our connection to Real Audio from our affiliate in Salt Lake City, KCNR. So any of you folks down there, down under, if you hear any more information on this, email it to me. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. Okay, 1-800-836-2009 is our toll-free call-in line, 1-800-836-2009. Now, in 1974, I believe it was, 1974, let me check in, yeah, 1974, a book was published. It was called The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence. According to this this book, this issue is a simple one. Should the CIA function as it was originally meant to, as a coordinating agency responsible for gathering, evaluating, and preparing foreign intelligence, or should it be permitted to continue as an operational arm, independent and unaccountable, the secret instrument of the presidency and a handful of powerful men whose purpose is interference in the domestic affairs of other nations? That is the question that was asked, and this book was published in 1974. It, by the way, was the only book that the agency itself, the CIA, tried to suppress. Victor Marchetti, former high-ranking CIA official, tells in this book how the agency actually works and how its original purpose has been subverted by its obsession with clandestine operations. Now, the reason we're talking about this tonight is because, you know, we have we've talked about the subject of secrecy many, many times in the past, and we know that the CIA has been around the UFO subject for many, many years. And quite by coincidence, we had a couple of weeks ago, we had a guest on named Terry Hansen, who had done a paper called The Psychology of Secrecy, or The Psychology of Dreamland. And he attributed a quote to Victor Marchetti on that program. Now, joining us tonight is Victor Marchetti. Good evening, Victor.
Good evening, Michael.
Thank you for being on the program with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really glad to be able to talk to you about this, because one of the things that a lot of people are aware of is that there is a very, very big blanket of secrecy over a lot of things in this country. And we're finding out that this web is not just restricted to this country, but it is international in its scope. Before we go to break, we've got about a minute. Go to the bottom line of why you wrote the book in 1974, if you would.
Well, I had come to disagree with the agency's policies, particularly its clandestine activities, covered action, interfering in the affairs of other governments, which are carried out at the direction of or with the approval of the White House. And I felt that the only way to bring this to the public's attention was actually to go public. I could get nothing done in Congress or in the White House or in the agency, for that matter.
So it was a very, very difficult uphill battle, if you will, to get the book published.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Victor, hold that. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll get into the particulars of what happened. And I want to talk about the, the anatomy of secrecy, if you will, on the program tonight. I guess you're the one guy that's probably qualified to talk about it. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Victor Marchetti. We're talking about his book, The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems.
You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read. UFOs for real, or are they just fiction, or imagination, or disinformation? To find out, stay tuned for more of the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And thank you for coming back to us. So 1-800-836-2009 is our number, 1-800-836-2009. That is toll-free. Give us a call. My guest tonight is Victor Marchetti. He is the author of a book that was published in 1974 called The CIA and the Cult of Intelligence. And, Victor, before we go on with the program, I wanted to read to you this quote that was attributed to you on the Internet, and we'll just discuss it real quick. It says here, in essence, it was quoted out of a magazine called Second Look, How the CIA Views the UFO Phenomena. This was from 1979. It says, "We have indeed been contacted, perhaps even visited, by extraterrestrial beings and the U.S. government in collusion with the other national powers of the Earth, and it is determined to keep this information from the general public." Now, I understand that you did not say that.
Well, not exactly that. I said, if we had been visited, I believe we may have been visited, but if we have been visited, or if we are now being visited, which is also a theoretical possibility, the United States government and the other major governments of the world would find it to their definite survival advantage to keep this secret from the general public. They wouldn't want this kind of information coming out because it would be just too dangerous, and it would threaten, you know, the present institutions, which are necessary to keep the government of the world functioning.
Right. Now, a lot of people say that. Now, some people say that it probably would not, but from your standpoint, you joined the CIA in 55? Give us a little sketch, a thumbnail sketch, if you will, about the organization and how it was started.
Well, it started actually after, in 1947, but it was an outgrowth of of OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, in World War II. And it was, the CIA was created to conduct a number of missions for the United States government, was to analyze information from all sources for the benefit of the government, the president, the policymakers. But it was also intended to carry out clandestine activities such as espionage and counter-espionage. And most importantly, something called covert action, which is interfering in the events of foreign governments attempting to manipulate events without any attribution to the United States, hiding the hand of the United States. So it's it was a very powerful organization from its inception, and in order to, part of its power was secrecy. Nobody knew anything much about the CIA or its purpose or for whom it really worked, and this added to the mystique. Unfortunately, they weren't fooling the KGB, the Soviet KGB, or other intelligence services such as Israeli Mossad, the British intelligence, and the like. The secrecy, really, it turns out, is to keep the American public from knowing what was going on.
Now, that brings up an interesting question, and I guess we'll develop that later in the program, so I'm going to keep that something we can come back to. But the, I guess, what do you know about the various operations, say, like Operation Paperclip and things like that? What do you know about that?
Well, most of those operations, I only know what I've read in the papers and what in discussing them with other former officers. And I do not have a first-hand knowledge of that particular operation. I obviously was aware of certain things that went on when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Of
course, you were...
I have a pretty good feel for these things and a way of looking at them and understanding them that the general public may not have.
Well, now, as I understand it, Operation Paperclip was an operation that they started late 40s, early 50s to bring over some of the Nazi scientists and doctors, if you will, from the Nazi Germany government. And if I'm not mistaken, some of this stuff did eventually culminate in what was known as MK Ultra.
Well, that's kind of forget Paperclip and forget Ultra. Just talk about bringing how we handled the German scientists.
Okay.
The thing was that at the end of the war, at the end of World War II, in very, very short order, it became apparent that we were starting a third world war, only this was a Cold War with the Soviet Union. And that since it was war, we approached it in the same way. So all these Germans who had been considered the bad guys just a few years earlier now were potential assets for the United States government. And for agencies who were functioning as instruments of the United States government, such as the CIA. But so the United States government hired German missile scientists. We hired intelligence people and a wide variety of people who we thought could help us in our war, our secret war with the Soviet Union, our Cold War with the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing evil in it at the time.
Okay.
Because it was, you know, in fact, we used to joke about our Germans were smarter than their Germans. See, they were doing the same thing.
Right.
But it worked out. I mean, we were able to develop ICBMs and other rockets faster and better than the Soviets. It didn't work out so well in the field of intelligence, the German intelligence, General Galen and these people, were not as gifted as we had thought. It didn't lead to MK Ultra directly. MK Ultra grew up because of the fear, the inordinate fear we had of the Soviet Union and its capabilities. Since we had a great deal of difficulty spying on the Soviet Union because it was a police state, a closed society, we imagined a lot of things. We became very paranoid. And when events occurred like the Cardinal Menzenti affair in Hungary, and some of the things that went on in Korea, it was our troops that were captured there, brainwashing, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
We began to think that maybe the communists were light years ahead of us in this field, just as we thought they were ahead of us in missiles and bombers and submarines and everything else. So it was an all-out attempt was made to look into mind-altering drugs and the ability to use these to our advantage in this secret war. So it was part of a bigger thing. It became almost cultural. You know, we were concerned about in the Olympics about whether our athletes were better than theirs and
right.
So on.
Uh-huh. Okay, hold that thought. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit more of the anatomy of secrecy and, you know, where it goes and how this kind of stuff applies and where it's maybe going to. Because I know that's on a lot of people's minds today. Victor Marchetti is my guest. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break. 1-800-836-2009. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet Continuum. Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/Paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org. So, don't accept wannabes and substitutes. The name is Paranet, the world's most important communications network.
Learn more about UFOs and the paranormal with the Paranet Catalog. Paranet, the world's foremost network of the paranormal, has a new catalog for 1996 with an updated list of previous Paranet Continuum radio shows available on cassette for $8 each, 2 for $6, or 3 or more for $5 each. You can also order Paranet's famous black T-shirt with its stunning design of galaxies, stars, and comets, the logos for Paranet and our sister group MyCap, and a beautiful blue, green, and white planet Earth. There's a complete Alien Grays T-shirt catalog, information on Paranet's website and computer networks, and on how to subscribe to Continuum, Paranet's official quarterly magazine. To get your catalog or to order, call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the paranormal, at 1-800-UFO-6381.
stay in touch with the latest news on the paranormal and the growing UFO phenomena by fax, computer network, and this program, the Paranet Continuum. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Victor Marchetti. Victor, when the intelligence agency was the CIA, when it was started in September of 1947, what does the word plausible deniability mean?
Well, it's plausible denial.
Okay.
Is the correct term.
All right.
And whenever a covert action program was planned or covert action operation was in the works, now they say covert action is doing something in a foreign government to influence, or in a foreign state to influence affairs without showing the hand of the United States government. And it can be anything from propaganda to psychological warfare to political action, manipulation of unions, student groups, all the way down to the real dirty stuff such as sabotage, blow and burn type operations.
Mm-hmm.
These operations have to be done in such a way as to, as they say, hide the hand of the United States government and have plausible denial that the United States government is involved. And there are degrees of this deniability, the highest being that to protect the president.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we're doing something, say, like in Cuba, in the Bay of Pigs, and it obviously is going to become known and get exposed, well then, even though the agency is exposed for having done it, they have to try and protect the president, say that he didn't know about it.
Now, obviously.
So in other words, part of the job, the agency's job, is to take the blame for these things. But the truth of the matter is that in all these operations, these, certainly the major ones, they're either carried out at the direction of the president or with the approval of the president or his authorized
agents.
Yes.
Okay. Is that true in all cases?
In almost every, certainly in all major cases.
Do you think that there's...
And it's even more so nowadays than in the past.
So it would be okay to assume or infer that, say, for example, President Clinton would have knowledge of every operation that the CIA is conducting?
Of this nature.
Okay.
These operations, I used to be involved in preparing the papers for the White House on these operations years ago. Some of them, there were two reasons that sometimes they were very expensive. And the other reason was they were very high risk,
mm-hmm.
that they could blow and blow back on us and expose the CIA, therefore the U.S. government. The president had to be protected. These all used to be cleared through the White House. Now, the president might not be aware of every one. He may, his designated representative, the National Security Advisor, can approve these for him, but if it's a really risky and important type operation, the president is informed.
Do you see, now obviously 14 years with the agency and you leave it and write a book that's critical of it, what kind of problems did you see that were coming up on the horizon or were already in place with this type of structure?
Well, the main thing was that the agency was a secret tool of the presidency, and it was because of the secrecy, no one knew exactly what was going on. No one outside of the inner circle,
mm-hmm.
knew what was going on, whether they were doing a good job or not, whether they were doing what they said. So secrecy in itself became a very dangerous thing. It allows the president to lie to the people. He can lie. He can say we're doing something or we're not doing something when it's the exact opposite is the truth. And the only check on this was Congress. And Congress just didn't have the stomach to do its oversight duties as it should, for many, many reasons, political reasons. In some cases, they were firm believers in this sort of activity. In some cases, they believed it was the president's right to act without any kind of counterbalance from Congress. So this atmosphere, this attitude, I thought, was dangerous because a president could get us into a hell of a lot of trouble.
Well, not only that, I could see probably some experts in the intelligence field, for example, Jim Hogan, would say that there has been sort of a monster in some ways that's had life breathed into it, and it's now something that's out of control because of the lack of accountability.
That's right. That's right. And it all revolves around secrecy. And that's why I say secrecy is not designed to keep the enemy from knowing. He usually knows what we're doing.
It's the American public.
It's the public. Keep the public from knowing. And therefore, you're not accountable to them, and therefore the public cannot interfere in or influence your activities. Secrecy is a great thing. Presidents love it. They love to have this secrecy. And they like to keep Congress in the dark, and they like to keep everyone else in the dark. It gives them a sense of power. They also like to meddle in affairs around the world that they normally wouldn't get involved if they had to clear it with Congress, if they had to explain it to the public and get the public's support. So secrecy is a very dangerous thing. And when you have an agency that's shrouded in secrecy and its whole purpose is to maintain secrecy in order to carry out dubious activities, it's a very dangerous situation.
Would it be fair to say that now with what we're talking about, is it fair to say that perhaps the American public is being psychologically manipulated?
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that fall outside of its charter that it cannot conduct those types of operations on its own shores?
That's right, but nobody does anything about it. I mean, there are many, many examples of how the CIA, acting as an instrument of the presidency, the chief executive, has been building the myth of the CIA, the myth of intelligence, and conning the American people. In some instances, for example, the CIA has written books that are phony books,
mm-hmm.
such as the Penkovsky Papers, which they justify on the grounds that they're trying to deceive the Soviets, that they were trying to deceive the Soviets. Well, the book never gets into the Soviet Union, but what it does, it circulates around in Europe and in America, and it ends up being believed by members of Congress, who are supposed to be overseeing the CIA.
So it's kind of like a snow job.
Yeah. And sometimes it's very sophisticated. They encourage fiction writers to produce about the spy game.
Okay, Victor, hold that thought. We got to go to another break. We'll come back. We'll touch on that some more. 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. Again, my guest is Victor Marchetti. We're talking about the CIA and the cult of intelligence. We'll be right back.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum.
call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services in MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
Listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet Continuum, and it deals with some of the most fascinating mysteries around. Once again, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Victor, I'd like to ask you a question here. Are we, for example, let's talk about disinformation and this manipulation of the public. A lot of people have been made aware in the last several months, starting with Ted Koppel and Nightline back in November of last year, that the government has been conducting remote viewing experimentation and certain types of experiments into the paranormal, if you will. What do you make of that?
Well, this is as old as MKUltra. The CIA and other intelligence agencies in the community have been interested in the paranormal, in extrasensory perception, in all these things in order to get an edge on the enemy, the opposition.
So you're talking about using these kinds of things for, say, defense purposes?
Yes. And they did a lot of studies in this field. I'm not certain as to how much success they had. They had a lot of failures, and they tried to give the impression that many of these things were total failures. I suspect that they weren't absolutely total failures. I think there's always room there for some successes that maybe they couldn't understand or couldn't control.
Mm-hmm.
But, they've been working in this field for a long time, and nowadays it isn't the CIA so much as the Pentagon. The Pentagon is doing much more work in this field than the CIA. The CIA started it all back in the 50s. And 60s, but many of the activities that the CIA started, including photographic satellites and so on and so forth, have been taken over by the Pentagon. And in fact, it's the Pentagon is the place where, in this area of the paranormal and ufology, is where one should look, because the Pentagon has the National Security Agency, the Communications Intelligence Agency,
mm-hmm, which is probably a very large part of this.
Very large, and they're listening to and searching for all kinds of signals all over the place. God only knows what they have learned, and they are even more secretive than the CIA in many ways.
What would be a good piece of advice? You know, I think probably the decade of the 90s will go down in history as the decade of conspiracies. And I mean, a lot of people are really getting excited and wound up about a lot of stuff. But what would you say, from someone who's been on the inside, how would you disseminate material that's coming out over, say, the wire and different things like that, to know whether or not it's disinformation?
Well, that's a very difficult question, Michael. You just have to make your determination on a case-by-case basis. But it's obviously, that is another area that is now being heavily studied and researched by the Pentagon, the information warfare.
Uh-huh.
And all phases of it, and how to... well, we used to carry out, propaganda, psychological warfare. Well, that's like children's play compared to what they're doing now in information warfare, in attempting to. Most of this is theoretical right now, but I'm sure there's some experiments being made on the American people, and you just have to be suspicious. And
ask a lot of questions.
And even, even if you are paranoid, that doesn't mean you're wrong.
Of course not. Not always. But
not always, right. I think that the American people should be very, very suspicious of their government and their governmental leaders, and particularly anything that is protected by secrecy, such as the intelligence agencies, not only the CIA, but all those in the Pentagon.
Well, what can be done about that? I mean, you know,
I'm working on a book now, which I'm hope have finished by late next year. And there's really all you can do is education. People just have to get interested in this for their own benefit, in order to maintain their freedom, to maintain our democracy, our republic. And it's hard to do, because there are only a few people who are that concerned and who are interested in it. The average guy just wants to be left alone, make a living, and have some fun. So it requires it's the responsibility of those people who are in Europe what they call the intellectuals, the intelligentsia.
Mm-hmm.
It's the concerned individuals like you and me.
What about JFK?
What about him?
What happened with him? Do you think that there was anything to the conspiracy theory?
I believe he was the victim of a conspiracy. Who all was involved? I'm not certain.
Was there a CIA fingerprint on any of it?
No, the CIA, as institution, had no reason to kill Kennedy. In fact, they loved Kennedy. He was their kind of president.
Wasn't he going to dismantle them, though?
No, that is a phony story.
That was part of the game, then.
Yeah, he liked the CIA. The CIA got bigger and better and happier under Kennedy, and continued. No. But there were some people in the agency, some who were very bitter toward him because of the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban affair. And there could have been some renegades who got involved, just as there could have been some FBI renegades.
How does the agency deal with renegades? I mean, we hear so much about this, renegade guys running around with their own agendas and that type of thing. you know, this seems to be in such a way that it's like you can write your own ticket.
Well, sure. When you have all this secrecy, the guys out in the field have room and often cause to lie to the station chiefs, who have the same reasons to lie to their chiefs back in headquarters, who have reason to, and it goes right up the line. The director of the CIA can never be certain that he knows what's going on, and neither can his chief lieutenant. Therefore, neither can the president. There's plenty of room, because of all this secrecy, for people to pursue their own agenda.
Victor, before we go to break, let me ask you one quick question. In your opinion, if there was a crash of a UFO at Roswell on 47, could the agency conceal this effectively all these years?
Not the agency, no. It would have been the Pentagon.
Okay. All right, hold that. Hold that thought. We'll come back from break, and we'll touch on that and get some closing comments to wrap the program. My guest is Victor Marchetti. We're talking about the CIA and Cult of Intelligence. Very interesting program. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. Get ready to copy down some computer addresses. I'm going to tell you how you can plug into the oldest and most reliable news and information service on UFOs and the paranormal on the entire planet. It's the Paranet Information Services Worldwide Network. First of all, check out our page on the World Wide Web. It provides you hot links to other UFO and paranormal sites, along with audio clips from recent Paranet radio shows and much more. Type in www.paranet.org/Paranet/. If you're a subscriber to America Online, CompuServe, or the Microsoft Network, you can access the 7 Paranet news groups covering UFOs, metaphysics, parapsychology, and more. Just select the Internet News Group function from your online service and search for Paranet. You can also send us email at this address, paranet@paranet.org.